Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. We have a special subject today. Someone who was saying, Jeff, I'd like to have your counseling when I ever get a chance to pay you. How much should I pay you? You don't have to pay me anything, really. I'm always publicly accessible. If you want to reward my advice with a super chat, you can do one of any amount you'd like. But we're talking about a very serious subject because we have a Canadian man in despair, and he's thinking about committing suicide through the government, through using the MAID program, the Assistance in Dying program of the government. And we'll see everything that he has to say. I'll review his life. He has a very traumatic life, and I'll give my thoughts. I don't think that is the case where necessarily a suicide by the government is the solution. I think that the MAID program has been made in Canada to the point of catching in some people like him, but I will present a hypothesis where he could take a good direction in life, but he definitely has serious problems. It's not going to be easy. A stunning video of a great white shark breaching caught by Chris Fellows. Let's have a look at this video. They put a bait. The bait looks like it's probably a seal or something. Beautiful jump here. Wow. These big fish. Just eating other fish. Fleur de Sel says, do insurance companies consider MAID as suicide? It's a good question. What happens with life insurance? It's a very interesting question. Normally, suicide is treated by life insurance companies as different. They will tell you if you suicide, a year, 2 years after getting the policy, you won't get any reimbursement. But if you suicide many years after getting the policy, then they will say it's reimbursed. But I don't know where MAID falls in. It's an interesting question. Do they treat it like a suicide or do they treat it like a death? I don't know. Accused shooter Thomas Abreu of Brooklyn as he was walked out of the 107th precinct. Now, they're saying this guy is a Hispanic, and yesterday I was saying I covered this news item as a black guy because I was looking at the videos, and what I see is a black guy. Maybe he's a black guy from Hispanic regions of America. Maybe he speaks Hispanic. But he does look African to me. So this was the guy who was randomly shooting in broad daylight on a scooter.
Are you sorry? Do you have anything to say? Look right here, buddy, right here. Hero. Hey.
He could be mixed of some African descent, some Spanish descent, perhaps.
Right here, buddy. Right here, right here. Right here.
All right, so at least he has been caught. What a terrible, terrible way to get attacked at absolute random. People were sharing on the Discord cases of a woman who have long hair. I don't realize the danger of long hair. The danger of long hair in the modern world is that they can get caught by machines that just won't stop spinning. There are people who lose their entire scalp. This girl has her entire scalp ripped off by machine at Nippy's Juice Factory. Look at this. The complete skin over the cranium, completely ripped apart. They were sharing videos of this. I think I have the video somewhere. I must have it. Anyways, I can't find it anymore. I'm sure it's somewhere in my notes, but somehow it got lost. The woman just turns around. Her hair gets caught in the machine, and you know the flurry machine, like at McDonald's? The flurry machine rolls and rolls until it rips her scalp. Anyways, so some of you guys don't want to see the video, and you're lucky today. I actually don't know where the video has gone. Maybe I'll find it later in the show. Anyways, it's not that important. Pretty amazing to see this. T.S. Apostolos says, hard to believe there is no safety training. Well, apparently they were told to always have a kind of cap over their hair, but perhaps they don't realize why they have to have this cap. Go Away says, Jeff, there are girls who have been drowned when their hair is cut in pool pumps. Wow, so it's really a choice between long hair and life. I choose the risk of long hair. I think long hair on a woman is the most beautiful thing. I remember always in my head, one day when I went to a place where it was like a dating encounter where you knew that people there were looking for mates, and so I was exploring the people there, the woman, and I keep remembering this woman as the perfect example of, holy shit, that is the woman I should have grabbed when I was younger. She was like 18 years old, her hair so long they were reaching her ass, and I remember what she told me. I'm kind of traumatized by this event. She told me, hey, I've been homeschooled. I live on a farm. Actually, it's the first time I go. I get away from my family, and I'm here to find a boyfriend. Oh my god! Just pure beauty and naivete, and yet I was too young and too stupid back then to understand the value of what I was in front of. So to me, it was like, oh, okay, here's one more girl, kind of lost, kind of doesn't know anything about the world. And to me, you know, I didn't have the reaction of saying, oh my God, this is high value. Not that I rejected her. I don't think she wanted to go out with me. I was probably too old for her, and I'm too much of a specialist. I'm too run out for this kind of girl at this point. But I've been struck as I grew politically and understood the pain of not having a woman like this. And I've understood the value of this little girl, this beautiful 18-year-old, just super long hair, totally like a virgin, but not virgin in the sense of the pussy, but a true virgin, a blank slate of kind. And I've come to appreciate the value, and I've come to tell myself, maybe on that night I would have made a better path for myself if I had just set myself on the goal, I have to have her phone number before I leave. Dan Simmons says, saw a light-skinned chick who looked like the hot girl in TLC. Okay, I don't know who's the hot girl in TLC. I do remember that I've been watching MTV back in the days of The Boy Is Mine. Dee, 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 dee. But I wouldn't remember the hot girl from TLC. All right, let's get started on this case of a Canadian man. He is 43. He is virgin, unemployed. His life has been terrible, and he's been just experiencing suffering on an everyday basis. And the question he has for me is there hope? Or should I just use assisted suicide from the government to kill myself? That is literally the options we are in front of, and since we are in Canada, yes, it is possible. It is possible to go to a hospital and say, I experienced despair, and you can get in the pod and die. Let's see everything about this guy's life, and then I'll tell my view. 43 isn't that old, says Silver Spider. That is true. It's a little late to take on life from scratch. It's a little late for him because he has a lot of work ahead of him to restore some kind of positivity in his life. But 43 in general, it's not totally done. You are totally, if you are male, you are totally on a possible market. Now, I'll show you why in his case it is very late to take on really work that he should have done. Ideally, he should have started this work at 25, 27, you know, before his 30s. But let's see. He says, hi, Jeff. I'm 43. I'm a virgin, unemployed. I have $5,000 in savings. That's good. That's the one thing that's it's good. You have savings. You're standing on something. 5K is not much. But it's you're in a better position than a lot of people in our current society. A lot of people, they are in absolute debt. So 5K in saving is a start. But it's a start that it's you're pretty late in life. So if you were 20 years old, 5K is amazing. Because I'll tell you, put this 5K in Bitcoin. You come back 3 years later, 6 years later, and you have a house. But 3 years or 6 years later for you at 43... that's not really an option because you'll be out of the dating market by then. But anyways, 5K is good. I have no friends. Is there any hope for me or should I apply for MAID, the Assisted Suicide Program, Assistance in Dying Program of Canada? How much money would you charge me to address my situation on your show one day? And I said, no money. You don't have to send any money. I just want more details so I can give you the proper response. And I said, what do you mean having hope? Are you looking for a girlfriend? Do you want to build a family? What would be hope for you? He says, hope in terms of not being miserable 24/7. Even sleep is filled with nightmares, so no relief there either. Mostly given up on ever finding a woman. Only woman 50 and plus express romantic interest in me. Plus, I have nothing to offer a woman. And he gives me more detail in another post. He says, I began lifting weights at home last year to get in better shape. No other hobbies, as nothing brings me joy. I do not enjoy life. Even small things like watching YouTube or eating no longer bring any relief from instant sadness and irritation of existing. This is all real, sadly. I had my first appointment with a psychiatrist this morning. Within 30 minutes, she recommended SSRIs, so antidepressants, serotonin inhibitor, release inhibitors, a reuptake inhibitor. He says, I did like her, though. I live in Toronto and have since teenage years. I was diagnosed back then with social anxiety disorder. My mother was killed when I was a teenager. My father became an alcoholic. I had no contact with him since 13 years old. All other family members, siblings, cousins, etc. are highly successful. I don't know where to start or what to do to make things better/bearable. I've been watching you since maybe 2017. Highly respect your opinion and would appreciate your advice. I have a university degree for what that's worth. I had a series of minimum wage jobs where I eventually rage quit, usually before the 2 year mark. And I asked him, what is the kind of circumstance under which you rage quit your jobs? Because now I was detecting, okay, we definitely have someone in heavy, heavy depression. I'm trying to see, is it a depression that is just solely depression? Is it a depression that's induced by social anxiety? Or is it a depression that comes as waves as part of a bipolar disorder? So since he talked to me about rage, I'm explaining to you what I'm doing with him here. Since he talked to me about rage quitting his jobs, the rage here, I want to know more about it. Because rage quitting because you're desperate, or rage quitting because you have interpersonal, conflictual personality, will reveal something about, is there a potential here for bipolar type of hypomanic depression state, or are we talking about a pure depression state here of suicidality? So he says, most recently, it was interpersonal issues with a manager. Regular disrespect caused resentment to build until I couldn't take it, snapped, and quit on the spot. I gave 2 weeks' notice, continued doing a good job, and was professional. This was a minimum wage part-time job. The rational part of my brain realizes this was a reckless and stupid decision. But I guess I'm impulsive in this way. See, just the right question leads the patient to reveal what you needed to know. Impulsive decision making, interpersonal conflict, and you know, being annoyed and accumulating resentment. So we have something here that's, I'm not going to diagnose him with bipolar disorder at this point, but I'm going to say, okay, that's a door that's open. This guy may suffer from bipolar disorder on top of being very depressed in those waves of bipolar disorder that are hypomanic. He says, the rational part of my brain realizes this was a reckless and stupid decision, but I guess I'm impulsive in this way, very self-destructive, never really been able to function in society outside of short 2 years windows here and there. And I said, are you renting an apartment? Because to evaluate someone's value on the dating market, I need to know if you have 5K in savings, that's good. Is it 5K in savings plus I have a house, or 5K in savings plus I'm stuck in a mortgage that I don't like and that I can't pay for? Or is it 5K in savings and I'm renting an apartment and I'm constantly getting drained, and ultimately that apartment is not very attractive for a mate? So I ask, are you renting an apartment? He says, I'm renting a room in the basement of a house, something a college student might do for a few years. I've been living that way since 30 years old. Terrible existence, though homeowner is great and kind. Okay, so this is not so bad. If you see this as a temporary situation, like, it's not a bad idea to be in those kind of rooms rather than have no savings at all and be in the bigger apartment that gives you the illusion that you could attract a girl, but the fact is you're not prepared for this. You have to work on yourself before you get into the attracting girls. So the optimal solution in your case is to be in those very restrained bedrooms, but that will cost you very cheap. So that way you can work on accumulating savings the way you did. So all in all, we have a very desperate man who this morning has been told by his psychiatrist for his first appointment to start SSRIs, start antidepressants. I agree. I fully agree with your psychiatrist. That is definitely a good first step. Definitely, you have lived extreme trauma and you have been basically abandoned abandoned. Your mother was killed. I don't know in what circumstances she died. And then your father abandoned you by not being able to care for you and being an alcoholic. So that is extreme trauma when it happens to you before adult life. You have this trauma. What they say was your social anxiety. That is worth exploring. Are you still experiencing social problems? One thing I would recommend is, because it seems that your brain has gotten into a depressive state out of kind of physiological crunching of it, of your brain. And I'm afraid that perhaps there may be some things that have not been addressed in your physiological functioning that could be making your situation unsalvageable by any sort of psychiatric medication. So you, I want to know that you have good cardio health. So you say that you've been lifting weights. That's perfect. I would recommend doing cardio exercise like simple jogging on a regular schedule. You want to activate your cardio just in case this is, because it's often a basis, a physical basis for your brain being in the current state that it is. What I highly recommend is to take your blood pressure. Do you have blood pressure issue? Because at 43, it wouldn't be particularly surprising. If you have blood pressure issues, it can have all sorts of effects on your cardiovascular functioning, and then it degrades your entire body functioning, your energy, and your capacity to get out of the psychological hole in which you are. So go get a blood pressure reading. Take your heart rate also manually like this. Find your artery here and count for a minute how many heartbeats do you have. How many heartbeats do you have? Do this in a couple of different situations. Do this when you are at total rest, relaxing on the bed, and do this after you've been doing some minimal activity like cooking or standing in the kitchen, and then do it also in relation to exercise. If at rest you have a high heart rate, if it is more than 100 beats per minute, I would highly recommend to consider that you have tachycardia. If you have tachycardia, you need to slow down your brain. If you have high blood pressure, you need to lower your blood pressure. And I would recommend also going to a generalist medical practitioner and getting just a basic blood test of all of the functioning of your renal function, liver, heart, just the basic stuff that they always do. And also your sugar levels. Because you need to make sure that everything is fine at the body level before you will be succeeding at fixing it all at the psychiatric level. Now, I highly recommend following the psychiatrist counseling to you. SSRIs is not a drug that will make you lose your mind. It's not a drug that will even make you feel like overly happy. It's just a drug that will kind of slice out the lowest parts, the deepest worries of yours, the deepest despair, and it will kind of heighten it up toward neutrality. That is how I would describe the SSRI effect. Now, with SSRIs, you're going to have to be disciplined. SSRIs will not have an effect before 4 to 6 weeks. You're going to have to take them regularly. And it's kind of going to clap in 4 to 6 weeks. And the clap is not that strong. It's not like, it's not going to change your life, or you're not going to be like, yeah, I'm happy, I got antidepressants. It's just going to give you that kind of background. Oh, well, maybe it's not that bad. Kind of background energy of minimal functioning. That is the role of SSRIs. Now, so once you have checked your physiology, fix any of your physiological problem that that would be identified by the blood test, the heart rate, or the blood pressure test. Once you have fixed this, and if the SSRIs don't work, you can explore with your psychiatrist the possibility that your anger and your social reactivity with others might be indicative of a mild bipolar symptom type of form, because it is definitely within the space of possibility. Now, the bad news is bipolar. Are they going to give you some super good medication that would fix it in the same way SSRI kind of fixed the depression? Not so much. And it's possible that even under a bipolar diagnosis, they would decide, well, your big problem is despair, so we're still going to just give you SSRIs. That is, it's entirely possible, but you should definitely explore this with a psychiatrist if you find that she's competent and that she's helpful. But it's going to be many months anyways, because you don't even get to know if the SSRIs are good for you and what is their total effect on your life before many months, because the effect will kick in 4 to 6 weeks from here. The effect will kick in, but the life changes that are positive to be expected might spread over the next 6 months. And so you're going to have to be sticking to the schedule of the SSRIs if you want to know their full effect. An account says SSRIs are awful. They reduce your IQ. Personally, the worst part was it made me delusional about reality and lazy. Couldn't motivate myself to do work. That is not a common reproach of SSRIs. It's possible that you've experienced these things. But generally, they help for the kind of circumstance that our guy here is presenting me with. So I've given you a program of physiological fixing, psychological and psychiatric fixing. It seems that what they called your social anxiety disorder when you were a teenager, they might play also in those interpersonal issues with managers. So you have a problem of being extremely demanding on your social environment. Now, I see that you take pride in doing a good job and, you know, not fucking over your managers. Even if you didn't like them, you gave a 2 weeks notice and you continued doing a good job and was professional. But that's not enough. You need to understand that to be on the employment market, yes, you know, it's kind of submitting yourself to the will of someone else. And yes, sometimes they will give you arbitrary orders and stuff that from your rationality doesn't make sense, but it's okay. It's what having a job is. Now, with your kind of spirit, perhaps if you were 20 years old, I would send you on the path of self-employment. But at 43, it's a little late to start self-employment. You know, it's not like it's going to be a super long and productive career, but it's also possible. You might want to explore accumulating contracts, working under someone by contract as a handyman or some kind of stuff like this. But generally, also, if you want to reintegrate the work market, you're going to have to loosen up and just not give a shit. You're being paid by the hour. So always keep that in your mind. If you're being paid by the hour, you are basically a machine available for them to tell you anything they want you to do. And it's not your place to question the orders or to find them disrespectful. You should just let it go. Let it go. Now, there are some circumstances that are abusive kind of managing practices where they will demean you. And if that's the case, then the solution is to leave. So I don't know in your case. I cannot judge because I don't have enough information. But if it's happened again and again for you, you know, when something happens 100 times, 109 times, 120 times, at some point you have to consider the possibility that the problem may be in you. Now, it's not necessarily in you, but it's a possibility. So we have two domains here that are subject to improvements, or at least subject to monitoring and testing. Now, the question comes, you're still 43, and 43 is kind of late to do all this, and on top of it, we haven't even begun the discussion of getting a woman. Because if you were 20 and you were in that, the situation you just described to me, I would tell you definitely do not get maid assistant in dying in Canada. Definitely not. Because there would be much hope that you can get all of this fixed over maybe a year. So I'm giving you a year to fix your psychological, physiological potential issues. And then you are on the path to have a regular family and date, and it's all good. Now, at 43, you don't have years to work on these first two issues. You're going to have to kind of do it all at the same time because you're racing against time. Your value on the dating market is going down and down. Now, I wouldn't say that it's to the point of not being salvageable, but I would say you have to be serious about fixing all these issues in parallel and be a better version of yourself by October. By October, November, so that you can right away go to the dating potential. Now, what will be dating for you? Because he's told me in other posts, it seems that right now the only kind of woman I can attract are 50-year-old. You definitely don't want to go for these 50-year-old because they are, and you may have this, you may have a very low self-esteem right now. This needs to go, okay? The problems that you lived are reasonable considering the amount of harm that came to you very early in life. You lost your mom. You weren't cared for by your father properly. That is enough to justify why you came to be in such a state of despair, came to be incapable of performing in work, and came to have all of the social anxiety you experience. But you have to put this behind and develop a new version of yourself. You are now a 43-year-old who's looking, I would recommend, if you want to hang on to life, I would recommend put this one idea in your mind. And this is the most important thing I'll tell you tonight. I deserve a baby. I deserve to reproduce before I leave this planet. I deserve a single baby. I have had it rough. I accept that I had it rough. I accept that not everything will be perfect. I accept that the road ahead is complicated, but I have one goal, and I've realized things before. I mean, you have a university education, right? So you've been successful at things before. And you can be successful at setting the 20 or so years of your life that's left in front of you to have a baby with a low-level, 35-some years old, mentally ill woman who is in the same level of trouble as you. And at 35, she is desperate. At 35, she is depressive. And at 35, she is as much pressed against the clock as you are, as a male at 43. Because you have a couple of years ahead of you, 1, 2, 3, where you can be attractive, where it can work, where you can inseminate effectively. And she has 1, 2, 3 years left also. So it sucks to be dating in that part of humanity if you have more hope. But I think that for you, what should be held here is a Quebecois saying. And the Quebecois saying is à chaque guenille son torchon, which means each dish cloth finds its rag. And it's a saying in Quebec that is very pejorative, but that gives hope at the bottom of the barrel. It's hope at the bottom of the barrel. Chaque guenille son torchon means no matter how ugly, how bad you've gotten it, how low level you are, you're gonna find a woman who's equally ugly to you. And that should be your goal. Now, I'm not saying you're ugly. I don't think you are ugly. But I'm saying your life makes you unattractive for a young woman who would start a long-term family. You have nothing to offer her, and you've admitted so in terms of, you know, having a house or something like this. So you don't offer particular stability or protection. You don't even offer kind of the joie de vivre that she could expect from a Roman story, because you suffer from too much darkness in your psychological state right now. But there are plenty of women. There are plenty of 34-year-old, 35-year-old women who are just as disparate. They experience just as much depression as yours. Now, interacting with these women is going to be painful, but there can be some form of romance and partnership in common suffering and shared suffering. So what I recommend to you is take your life into your hand. Go forward with the idea, I'm going to make myself into a man that is desirable for a 35-year-old depressive woman at the bottom of the barrel. And you're going to find plenty of these women. Joël Surette says, 35anddesperate.com. No, I mean, you have this choice, or you have the choice of non-existence. You have the choice of giving up. And the fact is, I hate giving up on life when there's still a chance. And what I recommend is, given that the SSRIs will come and will kick in and will remove a little bit of your despair, you're going to be able to appreciate and enjoy the challenge. The challenge of, can I do that before dying? Because that's all we're talking about here. You're probably never going to have a house, because if you were 20 years old, I would say your 5K, put it in Bitcoin. You would do 3x, 4x maybe on the current bull run because you're entering late. That would bring us to 20k. I would tell you, get the next bull run. Then you would be 28 years old and you'd have a house. But at 43 years old, you can still invest in Bitcoin. I wouldn't recommend against putting your 5k in Bitcoin. So you can get a 3x on it, 4x maybe on the current bull run. You're a little late on it. But even that 20K will not bring you to a house. So how about, could you see your life having babies with such a woman that I've described? And would that be a life worth it for you? I would suggest that it would. And I wouldn't tell you to answer my question tonight. I would say answer my question in your heart in 6 weeks from now, after you've gone through a regular schedule of SSRIs. And if in 6 weeks from now, or in a couple of months from now, that sounds like a challenge you would like to take on, take it on and go forward with it. I don't know where you are. Just go. You said you were in Toronto. Well, there's going to be plenty of bars in Toronto. Speed dating. Speed dating, by the way, is the place of despair. You're going to find women who want a baby in the next week because they're old and they're alone and they suffer. And yes, they're on antidepressant too. And it's not dramatic. you have a chance here. You have a chance to grab this woman, make a life for yourself. It won't be a part. It won't be the kind of beautiful life that you can dream of, princess and prince living in the castle. It's going to be living from apartment to apartment, caring for one responsibility, a single baby being fed properly, being educated eventually when they grow, and making it into adulthood in a kind of normal way. You're going to have broken a lot of the cycle of harm and pain that you've been at the center of since you're a teenager. Just caring for him, carrying him from apartment to apartment wherever you can survive and live, just feeding him properly and just not dying and being there is going to make a new life that will be healthier than you, that will be perhaps more lucky going forward than you. That is my recommendation to you. It's definitely worth it considering this rather than government-sponsored suicide. Blackwater Park says, living in Toronto is probably his number one problem. Doesn't Warski tolerate Toronto with coke? Yeah, I mean, the thing is, living in Toronto is a very bad idea for almost anyone, but for him, I don't know that he has any gain going into the wilderness. He's not going to be buying a house or a land in the wilderness. So he's stuck in apartments. Toronto is probably cheaper than if he was to rent a whole house in the countryside. So, you know, the countryside is not always the solution. And in his case, he's so at the bottom of the barrel that I don't know that the solution for him is to go to a Republican area or a right-wing area, because you don't really benefit from being in a right-wing area if you live the left-wing lifestyle. He's going to have to rent. He's going to have to date into the old category. So it's like, the cute daughter of the farmer at 18 years old, she's fucking cute, but he's not going to date her, you know, because she's going to be with the nice Chad guy from son of the other farmer, and they're going to be together. They're going to build a real family and have a real land and house and everything. So in his state of despair, I say, you know, there is energy in despair. There is, like in physics, there is energy in the void. There is energy in nothingness. Take that nothingness and use it as a springboard. The rents are cheap, so you can have a one baby family in those renting apartments. And, you know, the women are depressed and they're all on SSRIs. Well, that's despair you can also use as a springboard to get a reproductive pussy that is still functional. An account says, are you recommending he dates non-white? In his case, it doesn't really matter. I think he's going to be mostly popular in the non-white category because at his age, it is not in the immigrant culture to date at this age. So I think that he's most likely going to grab anyway a 35-year-old disparate woman. But it's not a white woman. But it's not impossible that he may find in Toronto an East Asian old female who, for her, it never worked and she never found a way to be interesting to anyone. And perhaps he's going to find an equivalent in the East Asian category. But I would be very surprised if, you know, one other very common population in Canada is the Indians. The Indians at 35 years old, they're already with their Indian boyfriend. They already have a couple of babies behind. So it's probably going to be white for him. Mark D's channel sends $50. Thank you so much for the massive support. He says, salut, Jeff. Thanks for the show. Bless you for doing God's work, using your mind and knowledge to help your brother in need. I will call him Jim. Jim, please let me take care of this bill for you, brother. Don't give up. Well, Mark D, very kind of you, since Jim is in a situation where I wouldn't recommend that he sends me any money. But here, Mark D did it for you. So that's how it works sometimes. The whole idea of a public show like this is Jim needed help. I give him help, but that help can also help other people. There may be other people in the situation of Jim who needed similar help. I mean, Jim is telling me that he's been a listener of the show since 2017. So for 6 years, he hasn't come to me and revealed this thing about him. And now he tells me. So there may be many other audience members who benefit from this perspective, because that is a radically different set of counseling that I've done tonight for Jim than what I usually do. Because usually I'm called here by young guys, and young guys, there's more hope for them because there's a time element where they have a lot of time ahead. You know, in a way, the 20-year-old guy, you almost want to slow him down because he's not at his peak yet. He's going to catch a better woman at 27 than he would at 20. But when you're at 43, it's a totally different game. It's important to understand this context. There is such a thing as dating the bottom. And I've been using this word recently, dating the bottom. It's a feasible strategy. It's something that cannot be ignored, depending on what level of despair, what value do you have, what standing do you have, how much money do you have. Ariel Suarez sends $10. Thank you so much. He says, just out of curiosity, what would be your advice to someone who, for unforeseeable circumstances, became sterile? Also, I can DM you regarding BTC investment, best platforms. Yeah, sure, you can DM me. I've been trying. Of course, I've always been very enthusiastic about Binance P2P. And as long as they're not totally closed, I will keep using them. But yeah, we do have to prepare other platforms because Binance is leaving Canada. And I've been having very positive trials using Bull Bitcoin. Bull Bitcoin by Francis, who's on Twitter. You can literally talk to the boss of Bull Bitcoin if there's ever a problem, but they are very trustable. Bullbitcoin.com, very trustable. Crypto.com, high fees, but totally professional, trustable, and withdrawal of money. And recently, recommended by Barnaby Bruto to me on the Discord and here on the chat, Newton, an excellent Canadian exchange. So if you're in Canada, those are three options. And Newton and Bull Bitcoin are the best for low fees. Crypto.com is higher fees, but they have a spread of services like a Visa credit card, very interesting, where you pay with your Bitcoin, and it's super safe because you can just transfer the amount that you need. So, oh, you want to buy a TV? Well, you transfer 1,000 Bitcoin onto your credit card, and so that's a credit card that's worth 1,000, and that allows you to cash out, not through necessarily getting cash, but by combining your everyday expenses. So you can cash out your Bitcoin when you feel you're at the peak. You can literally make your grocery on your Bitcoin account. Now, my advice for someone who would become sterile. I will tell you what I would do. If I became sterile, I mean, if I became sterile before making babies, because of course, if you become sterile because of an accident or a disease after having babies, then your goal should be just educate and raise the babies you already have. It's a blessing. So just spend the rest of your life ensuring that they have a good life, ensuring that they don't repeat the errors that you've committed, and that they don't end up chopping their balls the way you chopped your balls. however that happened. But if you became sterile without having had any babies, then I would just recommend you need to have a hobby. Like, I know what I would do. If I didn't have children and didn't have balls and didn't have any possibility of ever reproducing, I would just go on an autistic spree of prime number research. I would literally spend the rest of my days with a notepad and a pencil, and I would try to find some solutions to prime number problems. Whatever is the thing that really excites you, do it. Just do it for the rest of your life. Too bad if you lost the ability to reproduce, but it's not a bad way. You still have the privilege of existence. You still have the privilege of being able to enjoy existence, to enjoy the complexity of it, and just to see the world. So don't abandon, don't go for the maid program just because you're sterile. Even I, as someone who makes baby making his highest value, even I wouldn't be totally desperate if I was sterile. Fractal Man sends a super chat. He says, thanks, JF, for offering this sage advice to our fellow listener, to our 43-year-old friend. I hope you give this a shot. So much of life is about momentum. Once you start fixing one issue, others get better. Also, don't give Trudeau the sense of satisfaction in euthanizing a right winger. Yes, that is a good appeal. Yes. This is the Albert Camus proposition of continue to exist just for the purpose of revolt. Continue to exist just because Justin Trudeau wants to offer you not to exist. That in and of itself might be a sufficient justification, especially since Jim here told us that he was kind of a stubborn, interpersonally conflictual type of guy. Well, there you go. Be stubborn and tell Justin Trudeau to fuck off with his maid program. Firestarter says, I don't know if this is useful info or not, but my dad was over 50 when he had sex, and my mom was over 35 when I was born. Well, see, that's why at 43 in and of itself, to me, that is not an unsalvageable situation. You can totally start getting fixed at 43 and have a baby. I mean, just a baby. Just one baby. Can you imagine just how important this little bowl of flesh is? You're going to love the baby. You're going to make your whole life around it. You're going to care for the baby. It is absolutely wonderful. You don't need 10 babies to experience the happiness of parenting. 10 babies is to win the evolutionary race. Those are abstract considerations. But the meaning that you will experience in life by having just one baby is going to be plenty for your psychology. Ruffman, and by the way, Gerard Ruffman, he keeps spamming people on Twitter. Gerard, can you stop doing this, please? I hate to ask this, but, you know, Gerard Ruffman is kind of awkward on Twitter. He is sending messages to all the girls, the ladies, like the top models, the pop singers, Britney Spears. And he's reminding them that I'm single. And he does this every day. I mean, you're going to get banned from Twitter. It's kind of hilarious, you know, when I wake up in the morning and I see Gerard Ruffman has written to all these top 10 out of 10 women to say, hey, Jeff is single, you should date him. It is hilarious, but you're probably annoying to them. You're creating awkward situation. Like even I feel the awkwardness of it. So that is bad, bro. That is bad. I would recommend you stop sending these messages because you're gonna get banned from Twitter. Like, you look like a bot. You look like I would have hired a bot to promote myself. You see? And I hate this. Keller G says, what happened to Mama JF? Well, she's gone. She left me and she went away in very good terms, so nothing bad. But yeah, so I find myself alone in charge of the family home, and I don't know where she is at this moment. She's totally gone. Sarah Silverman sues Meta and OpenAI for copyright infringement. So the whole idea of training AIs, they were able, of course, to have the AI reveal what they knew about Sarah Silverman. And, you know, the AI gets exposure to the songs, the comedy sketch, the recordings, the videos of everyone. And so there is a serious question about, has copyright infringement been committed here? It's interesting. I mean, I don't like Sarah Silverman, but it's kind of interesting, this kind of fight that she's starting against the AI. Perhaps I will have to ally, you know, with Sarah Silverman one day. It will be the absolute alliance of a Jew and a non-Jew against the revolutionary phenotype. That would be kind of cool. There's a new Instagram or TikTok filter. I don't know. It's a TikTok filter or Instagram filter that shows the image of what you will look like once you are old. And look at this absolute beautiful woman. The Instagram filter can age her right there. And it can filter your whole video as you move. Kind of based, I have to say. You know, in this leftist culture of anti-ageism, you wouldn't think that leftist big tech would come out with something like this, which, if anything, will lead women to realize how life is short and how they should totally use this beauty right here, should totally be on her way to having 15 babies, and she should start right away. And I'm willing to give the first insemination if she needs someone. So there was another example. Apparently, you know, women who see themselves like this, they start crying a lot. That's what Stephen Robinson was telling me when he sent me the links.
Oh, mais la vache! C'est parce que je vais ressembler à ça dans 30 ans. Merde! C'est grave!
And apparently when guys use it, it doesn't bother the guys very much. So there's really there's a race against time, and the women are going to be hit strong. I love that there's now a TikTok filter that can make it realize, that can make them realize just how precious their current state is, and use it or lose it. That is as simple as this. And if you don't use it to secure a long-term commitment by a male, you're not going to benefit from it ever again. The only way you can benefit from your beauty eternally is by combining it with a meaningful marriage. where the guy doesn't care that you've become old and that you're not as good looking as when you were young. Because first, he remembers you when you were young. Second, he knows that your genes that you are sharing with him and your children are the genes that made you look so good when you were young. And third, he understands that you have sacrificed the most important part of your life, and he rewards you with the equivalent sacrifice of not letting you go just because you don't look youthful anymore. That is the sense of marriage, but unfortunately, we've abandoned it. Megan Rapinoe says, "You can't stop progress. No matter how hard you try, out of nowhere, this freaking purple-haired lesbian is going to come in and be like, fuck you." That's what you define as progress. Well, technically, she's right. You know, if you work with this, if a blue-haired lesbian coming out of nowhere and saying, fuck you, is progress, then you really can't stop this. Visibly, society has converged in that direction, and there's nothing we could do about it. Elon Musk calls Zuckerberg a cuck, challenges him to dick measuring contest. He was answering to Data Hazard, who is a pretty based data handler. And Elon Musk said, Zuck is a cuck. Okay, little insults between two competitors on the market. That's just a healthy thing. What else do we have? Sam Hyde is hilarious. Look at this video.
We're here with the leader of the Resist Trump movement.
Oh my goodness.
So he says, I'm here with the leader of the Resist Trump movement because she has a Resist Trump label on her car.
What do you have to say about the president? How much do you hate him?
Wow, I wouldn't say hate. I do not respect him at all. And who are you, sir?
We're doing news on the street, Resist Trump Network, News Network.
Resist Trump News Network.
That's right. It just so happens that the name of our network is the same thing as on your bumper sticker.
And so you just
it's a coincidence.
Cameras in my face even before asking me if
we
it's
have
okay.
to get the news. We have to get the news, ma'am. It's just part of the job description.
Oh, but okay.
Sometimes you do unpopular things to get the get the hot scoop.
Yeah. Okay,
the opinion on the street.
I agree with you in probably all things except your use of the camera.
Well, that's where we differ because I think I'm being perfectly reasonable
Are
right now.
Are you getting a close up of my nose? What is so interesting? What is so interesting about this?
Your teeth.
There they are.
Yeah, that's the money shot.
That's the money shot. Oh my God. Sam Hyde is so funny. Joe Biden is a total hassle in private. Apparently, people are scared. The president's admonitions include, God damn it, how the fuck don't you know this? Don't fucking bullshit me. Get the fuck out of here. According to one administration official, no one is safe. Okay, so Pedo Peter, as his own son calls him in private, Pedo Peter is a tyrant. The thing is, we had even less solid evidence that Trump would say anything of this sort, and it would make national news, and they would talk about it all day long. I don't think this news will be covered with the same zeal. I believe that most leftist outlets will just not cover it at all. What did people think diversity and inclusion meant? Minus 900,000 white workers since February 2020, plus 2 million Hispanic, plus 700,000 black, 800,000 Asians. So basically, the white working class is being stripped of their positions and they are just literally replacing the workforce with the immigrant replacement. And we knew that this was going. It's kind of shocking to see it in graph bar like this, where, okay, it's they really are succeeding hard at it. But we knew what this was going on because we had little CEOs were literally telling us, this is what we're doing. We want to fire white men and we want to replace them with a more fresh, a more current workforce. And of course, they did it through all sorts of tactics, and it includes affirmative action and all these programs. But it also includes the kind of dirty, unwritten form of bigotry against white people. Go away, says Jeff. Are you going to watch the Fuentes Destiny debate on Fresh and Fit, despite Destiny being on your blacklist? No, I've not changed on this. Destiny is uninteresting. Literally, I've been living a better life without Destiny. And there were times where he's been debating against someone that I found interesting. But I'm not listening to anything from Destiny. Sorry, even if you had an interesting opponent, I have truly blacklisted Destiny. As I've indicated before, I will be doing Destiny's eulogy when he dies. The day he dies, I will talk about Destiny, and I will be highlighting in his eulogy that I will make sure that this video stays on the internet forever, and eventually that it becomes the only historical artifact we have from Destiny. And I will lay out the uselessness of his life in general, and how he's accomplished nothing, and how he has the he has chosen a streaming name that could also be the name of a dirty prostitute. Body cam footage of police that was stopping Jalissa Taylor. It all starts with a broken window of her car, and they find that there's blood on the car, and they find that she has killed her six-year-old... Was it her son? Six-year-old son, and the body is in the trunk.
There is no tire there. All right. There's what?
She has literally no tire on her car. She lost her tire.
Blood all over the car.
Violation. I have a broken windshield, and I'm missing a tire because some kids were shooting at my car.
She is missing a tire because kids were shooting up her car.
It's like blood in there.
It's not blood, it's deer meat. I had a big bag of, and there's a farm around here that does deer meat and hamburgers.
So she has blood on her car because there's a farmer that sold her hamburger.
Shotgun shells all over this.
Yeah.
There's shotgun shells all over.
Holy we got a body. Yeah. All right.
We got a body. I mean, the reaction of the policeman is kind of... I've never seen how do policemen react to the finding of a body.
Holy we got a body. Yeah. All right, let's cover it.
Yep.
There is no tire there. All right.
It's absolutely interesting to see the reaction of the policeman. They don't want to touch anything, says DK Shadow. He says, see, hands off. Ah, okay, so that's why they back off. So if it's a regular investigation, you wouldn't care about touching a little bit, putting fingerprints. But when it's a body, it's a murder investigation, any fingerprint could potentially be important. So I guess that's why they want to do this. Convicted U.S. Olympics gymnastics pedo stabbed in Florida prison. So it's frequent for pedophiles to end up being beaten in prison. In this case, he was stabbed. I believe he didn't die, though. He has been transported to the hospital and appears to be in stable condition. Pearly Things is having her... her moments on Twitter. She's making some great tweets. She says, running society is not the same as raising a family. Stop conflating the two. It's true, and I believe there is a massive conflating happening that people just don't realize how much conflation is happening here. I believe that most political beliefs of females stem from a psychological device they have in their brain that has evolved not for political discussion, but it has evolved to handle the management of the family. When you look at how generous they are with everyone, when you look at how they want the government to extend privileges to people that are genetically distant to them, you realize that females are managing our societies just like you would manage a group of people who you know are all your children. You kind of want to be fair toward your children. You kind of want to be giving them what they need. You kind of want to be understanding. All of this works if they're your children, because the next generation, it's a stable system of parental advantaging that you keep for your children. But it doesn't work when you apply this to the whole world, because when you apply this to the whole world, you end up sterilizing yourself while you cuck for someone else, evolutionary success. An Iceland volcano has erupted. Authorities raise aviation alert to red. Be careful, Iceland volcano has erupted. There was someone, you know, there's people concerned trolling about anything where white people could be together. Like, I look at this image, I'm absolutely not shocked at the whiteness of it. That reminds me actually of many parts of my life where diversity hadn't been and hasn't still been invading, like family meetings. Of course, everyone is white. Like, there were some jobs where it's mostly white people who are interested in this field, and you ended up with all white people hanging out together. So there's nothing to take issue with here. It's great that white people are together, but J. Affirmative Action Perkins does take issue. He says, serious question for well-meaning white people. When you show up at a get-together like this, do you notice there are zero black people or not? If so, do you say or do anything about it? Please be honest. So I answered to this. I said, I generally do not notice. I mean, that a meeting like this, I will not, to me, that would just be normal. I would notice perhaps a meeting where there would be a single black person or there would be a lot of black people. But I won't notice if it's all people from my race. It would actually feel just like a normal meeting. So I said, I generally do not notice. Now, there can be some leftist woman who might be concerned trolling the whole party by bringing it up, but even that is rare. You know, there's been times where you know that there's this blue-haired type feminist on the table, and she's taking issue with it, and she's going to do a comment or two about it in the night. But most of the time, they will be. It will be annoying. I mean, it's an annoying concern troll when they do this. Turkey has agreed to back Sweden's NATO bid, alliance chief says. So they've been going back and forth on this. I've been suspecting that some kind of negotiation is going in the background, where Turkey is trying to. I will accept Sweden in, but I need this and that and this and that. But at this point, they have come back to the position of accepting Sweden in NATO. And finally, a last news item before we close the show. Very important data, and this guy is a very high-quality Twitter account, Monitoring Bias. You know, always brings very important racial statistics. Apparently, blacks have been killing themselves. Have been killing themselves. through use of cars since 2010 at an increasingly high rate because we don't police them anymore. You know, this whole defund the police, and there's been propaganda about police being racist in their giving of speed tickets to black people. There's been propaganda like this since the 80s. There's been academic studies claiming that, oh yeah, the policemen are so racist that black people end up paying for speed tickets much more. So what happened in 2010? Well, we started having this whole move of, well, okay, we have to stop systemic racism. So you have the chiefs of police, they don't send their policemen in black areas anymore. You have the defund the police movement, you have the BLM, and you have every individual policeman who's been sensibilized at the idea, yeah, don't go too hard on black people because you're going to be judged as racist. All of this together leads to what? Black death. Look at the death ratio divided by the pre-2014 average. So that's all compared to this period here. Now, compared to this period, of course, you have some variation in the period itself, but it would over at an average of 1 right here. 2010 happens. The blue line illustrates black death. Black death in motor vehicle fatalities, according to FARS and CDC data. So black people are dying much more through vehicular accidents. White people, they are pretty stable. And in fact, they are dying less. So we have massive improvements in the technology of cars, safety mechanism, in the way the weight of cars is planned so as not to induce too much death. But since we have no policing and we have careless driving that can now foment in the black community, they end up killing themselves. Those are amazing graphs. I didn't know that at all. We are at 1.6 for the black category, whereas we are at 0.5 for whites. This means while the technology was improving so much that white people were reducing their death by car accidents, black people were increasing because of lenient policing. That is it for tonight, boys. See you all tomorrow, and thank you for supporting the show. If you'd like to support on a monthly basis, join the Patreon or the Subscribestar. We will have our private hangout very soon. Bye-bye.